Yo, what's up, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of The Bait Escape. I am so excited for you to listen to this episode. One thing about me is I love music, and to be able to have the opportunity to interview someone that does it so well, and is also a baiter was really a dream come true. I really hope you enjoy this episode. It's one of my proudest moments. Pro tip, I had a little bit of recording issues during this recording, so you might hear my voice a little lower. My suggestion is that you plug in some earphones, turn the volume a little bit higher, and enjoy the show. How are you enjoying the California heat?
Oh, you know, it's a dry heat. That's what they say. It's been wetter this year.
It's been wetter this year.
Yeah, I feel like the California heat is like hotter. It's like hotter and wetter than it's been in the
What's the
past.
heat like in Michigan?
It's honestly kind of amazing from what I've noticed. I spent last summer in Michigan, and I spent a bunch of this summer in Michigan, and it's like amazing, beautiful summer weather. It
Nice.
sucks because when the winter comes around, it's like an icy hellscape. But in the summer, it's really nice, and also they're surrounded by water. Like there's lakes on all sides. They call Michigan the third coast.
Oh wow.
Apparently, it has more coastline than
Wait,
California.
where is the place that they call the Land of Lakes? Is it Michigan? No.
I think that might be Minnesota,
Oh.
because they have like thousands of lakes or something
Yes.
in Minnesota.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I knew it started with an M.
it's one of
It's
those
one of
Midwestern.
those
They all
over
lump
there. I've
together.
never been over there in that area. I would love to go.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's worth checking out every area. It's got its pros and its cons. I've been living in Kalamazoo, which is like kind of got like a little queer scene, but you know, it's still like Midwestern. It's nothing like being in, you know, an LA or New York or something.
But I feel like you're really like when I look at your Instagram and I follow your stuff, I'm just like, I'm gonna do that.
Yeah.
Like that's so
Like what?
cool.
Like what do you see on my Instagram and
Like
you
you're just
think?
it's so like one day I feel like you're deciding you're like, I'm gonna grab a guitar, I'm gonna grab a pet penguin.
Yeah.
I saw that video.
Sidebar, my friend watched that video and was like, "Do you want to fuck that penguin?" And I was like, "How is that what you're getting from this music
I was like,
video?"
that penguin went through a lot at the end. I was like,
Yeah.
at the very end, I was just like, what happened to this penguin? What was
Yeah.
the metaphor behind this penguin?
You know, it's just a story about friendship.
Yeah,
You
that's
know,
what I
just
got
like,
too. And
yeah.
at the end, like even though you went through their drudges together, he's
Yeah.
still by you.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was supposed to be like, oh no, did he die? But then he was fine, you
Yeah, he
know.
was fine at the
That's the
end.
twist at the end, is he survived.
But
'Cause
then
he's
I also
literally
really enjoyed the zombie video. That was really cool.
Oh, thank you. That one was really fun too.
Yeah, because they
Yeah.
ended up keeping you as a zombie, right? Is
Yeah.
that
I
what
think
happened?
that's what we decided the ending was, is that he's keeping me.
Yeah.
I'm there.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there needs I thought it could be fun to make a sequel video that's like a spoof on like a sitcom that's like silly. And it's like
Like have
a
the
guy just like
zombie
living with a
recently?
zombie, but the zombie's in the house, which would be funny to me because the original video is like not silly. It's like a serious zombie video.
Yeah, it
I think
is.
it would be funny to have that.
I like it. I like both videos. I thought they were really cool.
Thanks.
What were you saying? Oh yeah, like you decided to just kind of get up in your car one day and kind of like travel the world. But I just feel like
Yeah,
that's
basically.
not something that anyone could do. Like I feel like you've been a singer, a musician for quite a while.
Yeah.
Tell me that. Like, how did you get started in like singing?
Well, I've been doing this since I was a kid. I started playing music and writing songs when I was like 15 or 16 and started playing shows like in my or open mics in my local hometown. And then I went to school, and I went to school for graphic design. I thought I was going to be like a graphic designer, like work in advertising or something. And then like while I was in school, that was like when Tumblr became a thing. And I got on Tumblr and was like posting my music on Tumblr, and I started like getting all these, you know, followers online. And it was sort of like the beginning of like the YouTube days and like somebody being able to like be a musician with like just this online fan base. And so yeah, around that time, so like, I finished school, I got my degree in art, and then I just kept playing music and
Nice.
really like
So you had
focused on
always been
that.
playing music since you were like, even when you were going to school,
Yeah,
like
yeah.
a side hobby?
It was like I was playing shows and I went to school in Athens, Georgia, which is like a really it's got a big music scene. It's like the
Cool.
hometown of like REM and like the B-52s and
I love both those
bands like
bands.
that. Yeah, so it's got this huge music scene. So I was like playing shows while I was in school, and then it
That's so
was like
cool.
when I was on like spring break, I would like book myself like a DIY tour and like go play shows in like New York and Chicago and shit like that.
How
and,
does one know that they're musically inclined?
You know, I don't know, right?
Because I feel like music, like singing, that is such a talent. Like, it's not something you can necessarily teach.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, either you have like the kind of like the foundations of it. Like, you know, you can hear a note.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I know
that if I were to do that, I'd be like flat, tone deaf. And
are you sure? I don't know. I feel like some people like think that they're worse singers than they are. Because all the singers we see are like the most amazing singers ever. You know what I mean? Unless you start listening to like underground indie bands where everyone sounds like shit, and then you're like, oh, anyone can be a singer.
Okay. Thank
you know what
you,
I mean?
Thank you for challenging me.
Like if you wanted it, I feel like you could do it.
Thank you. That's what a supportive friend would say. I appreciate that. I feel like probably I could, but I don't know. I'll leave it up to the professionals.
Totally. If you're not feeling the calling.
Yeah, no, I feel like I'm more, this is more my calling.
But maybe, like, once you've, like, established your empire, then you can, like, break into a music career. You know how people like to do that?
Yes, I do. It's funny, I just recently collaborated with another person in the community, and he does, like, he'll do, like, sound mixing, and he'll, like, do these really cool, dope tracks, and mm-hmm. he was like, oh, give me a bunch of, like, dirty verbal. And so I gave it to him just like on a Apple voice note. And
yeah.
He made like this banging track.
I feel like that's cool. And
that's
also
fucking cool.
As soon as you said that, it's like you have a really like deep voice that I feel like would really lend itself to have like cool like vocal stuff like that.
Awesome.
Where you record the, you know, sampling your vocals and somebody else like mixing it into the music.
I feel like I could do that.
Yeah.
Instead of like trying to like hit notes on a piano.
Yeah.
Like, let me just go talk about schlong.
yeah, exactly.
But I was so happy because I was just like, I've always, when I was growing up, like music was such a way to communicate my mm-hmm. feelings, like even to myself. Like mm-hmm. even when I didn't know what I was feeling, I knew that music, I could put on a song and I could be like, okay, this matches
yeah.
my energy or this matches my mood. And I always felt like if I had the one talent in my life, I'd want to sing.
Yeah.
Plus, I feel like I've always wanted to go into the studio. I love when things are made. I'm really curious, like even with like meals,
mm-hmm.
you know, when chefs take these raw ingredients and they can make this amazing meal. It's
yeah.
the same thing with music. Like you're sampling these notes, these like rhythms and like these tempos, and then you put it all together in a boiling pot and it becomes like a tune.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, totally. It is cool.
Yeah. I love your sound though, because I feel like it reminds you of something that I haven't yet gotten. Does that make sense?
Oh, cool.
Do you get that a lot?
No, I don't think so.
It's the very nostalgic sound.
Okay, I love that.
What would you consider your music to be? Like, what the genre?
I usually say it's like indie pop.
Yeah, that's exactly
what it's very like indie pop, but it's very like guitar driven. I feel like
yeah.
a lot of indie pop these days is like electronic. That's
yeah.
that's like, you know, the vibe.
Yeah.
Which I love since in incorporating that sort of stuff, but I'm like a guitar guy, like originally. Like I've been playing guitar since I was 15 years old, so that's
yeah.
like been my thing, and I still really love like guitar music. It's so funny because I had like a label person recently tell me that guitar music is out, which is something that they said like right before the Beatles became a thing. They're
yeah.
like guitar
now,
music is out.
I feel like it's appreciated because
yeah.
like you're so used to having all of these like electronic sounds and elements in music these
yeah.
days, but
yeah.
when people really take it to like these like singular instruments, like you can really hear the guitar, you can really hear the drums. I think it's really special.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm glad you dig it.
I love your music.
And nostalgic is a really.
I don't remember how we even met or how we discovered each other. Was it Instagram?
I honestly think it was Bait World first.
Right, Bait
Either
World.
I mean, I think maybe I found you on Bait World and then started following you on Instagram, and then
we
were following each other.
Yeah,
because I've got that blue check, so people think I'm cool, and then they're like,
"You're
who's
so
that?
Cool.
How
do you have a blue check?"
They're not giving them out anymore.
They're not.
You gotta buy them. I don't know.
So weird.
Yeah, it's all the social media landscape is kind of a nightmare.
It's like ruining my life. Like I'm
trying
yeah. to like keep up with the Joneses, and it's really hard to do that.
It really is. Like if you're doing any sort of like project, like the Betascape or anything like that, where you need to like get like
yeah.
eyes on what you're doing, you have to play the algorithm game, and it's really soul sucking.
Plus, also too, like you don't. Well, at least I don't have like a big production company. Like I don't have. have like a studio or like a manager or an agency to like hire someone to do these things. Like people were just like, oh, like you're doing all this work. Yeah, it's fucking work. Like I'm up in the morning doing all my social and editing and then I put this out. And it's just like a one man show.
Yeah. People don't realize how much like behind the scenes work goes into stuff. There's so much work. Because like you got to be making reels all the time, and you know when you're doing a podcast, you have to be like constantly like editing down like little clips and like promoting those clips and and all that stuff.
All that stuff takes time.
Takes so much time.
Like I'm trying to teach myself right now. Like the big software that everyone's using right now is like it's CapCut.
Oh yeah.
And that's how they're making all these like random videos, which I really liked. I come from a background of photography.
Mm-hmm.
So like I can edit like on an image, which is really easy for me because it'll take like an hour and I'm just done.
Yeah.
But with video,
yeah,
it's fucking tedious, dude. Like it's so constant like playing back and editing, and like it could take me like 3 hours to do like a 30-second clip.
Yeah.
If I really want to push it there.
Yeah.
It's wild.
Yeah. I know that game because I do all that shit myself.
Do you do it
for
yourself?
Music. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a manager who helps with like booking tours and stuff like that and coordinating when it's like time to make an album. But as far as like the day to day, like promo.
Yeah.
It's just me like on my phone, like editing videos, which is just like, oh, I hate like being in my phone, but you know, I try and I like to spend a lot of time outside. So I'll try and if I'm going to work on my phone, like at least maybe I can work like from a lawn chair in the yard or some shit.
Yeah. I try to do that too. Like I'll try to like go out and stuff or like. I'm trying to get used to more of like just filming my life. That's a good one to do.
Right. That's
part of
it too.
I just had to get to the game. Like I was just like, okay, I'm going to go full force. Like if I'm going to do it, I'm just doing big.
Yep. Yep.
So you're playing shows here in LA.
Yeah. I have a show here on the 23rd.
Nice. Yeah. Where is that show at?
The Echo.
Oh, I love the Echo. Who did I see at the Echo? I saw a couple of bands at the Echo. Is that over in, where is that?
Echo Park. It's in Echo Park. Yeah. It's like right by the lake.
Yeah. That's close really cool. To it. Are you playing a couple of shows in LA?
I just played one at the end of July.
Okay.
And so now I have this one at the end of August. And then that's it. But then I'm back in December.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So after you play LA, where are you going?
After I play LA, I'm going back to Michigan to my trailer. I got some work I got to do on that to get it, like, road ready.
Yeah.
And yeah, pretty much just kind of like hanging around. I want to do some writing and like planning for my next record. And then I have a tour that's going to be October, November that I actually haven't announced yet.
Are you constantly just writing stuff?
Like, I'm trying
to. In your mind, you just kind of like sit around and you're just like, oh, this is a really cool jingle.
I have an ongoing voice memo collection, basically, that has been happening since probably I got my first iPhone in like 2008 or 9 or something like that.
Do you like reference back like music or like lyrics that you wrote?
Yeah, I totally do. I have like an ongoing like notes app list too. And so like when I sit down to write, you know, if I don't have like a clear idea in my head right away, sometimes I'll just like scroll through that like Jots notepad thing and just see, you know, I'll just like write down the line if I have an idea for a lyric. And
I wanted to ask, maybe it's just like not, I don't want to bring up like bad energy, but like I saw like your trailer. Is everything okay?
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, well, that's why I mentioned I've got work to do because I have a new trailer now, which is amazing. Okay, the old trailer, I was hit and run in a parking lot
that's
while I was crashing. It was
saw
so
that.
Fucked up.
You recorded it. I could hear it in your
voice. Yeah, me screaming at this person.
It was so scary. I could hear the fear in your voice. That's why I was like, oh my God. So I reached out and I was like, I hope everything's okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, luckily, like, I got so much community support around all that and, like, set up a GoFundMe. My friend set up a GoFundMe for me. And it was, like, within a day, I had enough to get a new trailer.
That's amazing.
Which was amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm all set up. But it was definitely, like, a really intense way to, like, kick off my summer.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a bummer.
But you got a new trailer.
But I got a new trailer, so that's really cool. Nice. And it's like a little bit nicer of a trailer, which is cool. And I'm like building out a big desk in it so that I can have like a recording set up in there and really like be able to like do what I do from anywhere.
Yeah, I think that's
get like
really
solar
good.
On there so I can be off grid.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I feel like that's what I'm doing here. Like, I just love being able to be so mobile and, like, kind of take things everywhere and just kind of, like, create. Like,
yeah, you know? I saw you into Palm Springs.
I did. I do love Palm Springs.
I'm assuming you didn't bring your work to Palm Springs, though.
No.
But you could if you needed to, and that's what's awesome.
Yeah, I could if I needed to. I'm actually going to go back. August is my birthday month.
Oh, cool.
I'm a Leo. So I'm trying to go back, and I asked the owners of like the house that I stay at, I was like, oh, can we like just throw like a cool like pool party birthday thing? And they're like, yeah, sure.
Figure
out what it is. Do you like palm trees or bits of palm trees?
Yeah, I'm actually going this weekend.
Fuck yeah.
I'm going Saturday and Sunday. I'm actually going to stay with somebody I know from Bait World who has a house with a pool and a guest house. And
oh,
apparently
nice.
Everyone who lives in the house is like also like a nudist and a baiter. And we've never met before, but I've always wanted to like go meet them and hang out there. And so I'm really interested to see what it's all about.
Yeah, I think that's really great. That sounds actually kind of familiar.
Yeah. I wonder if it's...
we probably know the same person.
Might be.
I think that's cool.
They have like a collective. They have like a a club.
I think that's what I really love about like a community. Like you just kind of like go places and just like, yeah, come on over. Like yeah. Stay with us. And I think people are just so happy to like, I mean, if I certainly have this space, I mean, that's my goal to like mm-hmm. own a home and like own a pool and just like throw these really cool parties. And,
hell
like,
yeah.
Have a bunch of like baiters over and be like, do your thing.
It is cool how.
Loaded optional.
I feel like it's been so interesting how like easy it is to like be a member of this community and how like welcoming people are. And it's like I feel like if you meet somebody through that site or somebody else who is like, I mean specifically on that site, because I feel like gosh, what am I trying to say? I don't know, it's just there's like this established like level of like comfort, like I get you, like yeah. you get me, like we can kind of like trust each other.
Yeah,
it's weird. It's
no,
cool.
I do like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Look, I feel like anyone that's ever been interested or I've talked to people there, like, you know, certainly some you drive with more than others.
Yeah.
But I think I'm at a point now in my life where I'm just like, okay, like let's really start to like establish like some kind of friendship. And I've done that, and I feel like I've been really lucky to find that in different areas.
Yeah.
Different all over the world, actually.
Yeah.
Like all the way from like all the way to like South Africa.
That's the beauty of the internet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, I love
it. It's awful, like the algorithms and shit that everything has like come down to are a nightmare. But like, I'm like such a child of the internet.
Same.
I was born in 1987, so it was like I was like 12 or 13 when the internet was like just starting.
Yeah.
And I was on it, and I loved it, and I loved making friends all over the place. And mm-hmm. I feel like I've been doing that since then. And yeah. I feel like that's what's been cool about it. It's if you're like a weirdo or an artist or some kind of freak, like you can find your people in other places.
Yes.
And like growing up in rural Georgia, I wasn't going to find anybody there.
Rural Georgia. Wow.
Yeah.
What was that like?
You know, just kind of like boring and like,
yeah.
I
don't know what that's like. I've always been raised in a big city.
I'm
born and raised in LA.
That's awesome, though.
Is it?
Yeah. I feel like it's just like a whole different
because of it.
Life experience. I have lots of friends who were like born and raised in Brooklyn, you know?
Yeah,
it's like,
that's cool. That's a whole different lifestyle.
Yeah, but being like kind of out in the country, yeah, you're just kind of like, you entertain yourself.
Yeah.
Which we're good at, I guess.
Well, I mean, I get a lot of time to play guitar.
Yeah.
It's like your foundation, that's where it lies.
Yeah.
But I do want to go, like I said before, like I feel like I want to do what you're doing. Like I want to just get in the car.
Yeah.
Just kind of take off.
Have you ever thought about like a van life thing? Could you do it? Could you live in a van or an RV?
I feel like I could do it now. Mm-hmm. I think in the past I was just way too like codependent and like not confident in like just being alone or by myself. And
yeah.
I think now that I'm much more confident in like my soul sexuality,
uh-huh.
like I'm just kind of like doing my own thing and I don't really care what's going to happen.
It makes it really easy to do RV life, travel life, and be by yourself if you are a soul sexual. I can't.
Well, that's true.
What would I do if I was somebody who needed somebody else all the time? I don't know.
That's true. But I feel like you have a pet, right? You have a cat. Like
I do have a cat. Okay, yeah, cool. I got a buddy.
Yeah, so see, like if I were to do that,
I didn't always have him, but yeah.
I feel like it helps.
Yeah, it definitely helps. Yes. I wanted a dog, but then this cat found me in the desert, and so
in the desert.
Yeah, I was literally like camped out in Joshua Tree alone.
I love Joshua Tree.
Oh, me too. And this cat showed up out of nowhere.
And we
started hanging out, and then he came in my trailer, and then. Like, I guess I have a cat now.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I feel like I was going to get a cat here, and then I really wanted a dog.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, like, my therapist was like, I'll write you a letter. Like, like a
to get like
support
a, yeah.
animal. And then it didn't happen.
But oh, they not allow dogs here?
No, just cats. The floors in between the apartments are really thin. Mm. When I first moved in, this person above me was renting an Airbnb, and they had a dog, and I could just hear the nails.
Oh, like, just constantly. All day.
Yeah, and I feel bad if I were to do that to my like downstairs neighbor. Yeah, although totally. They probably hate me because I always have like really loud sex here. The walls are really thin; you can hear a lot of what's going on.
Yeah,
yeah, it's fine.
Yeah.
Big world.
Yeah.
How are you enjoying that?
I love it.
Yeah. Do you meet, like, cool people? Like, when you go when you go to travel different cities, you kind of, like, reach out and see who's around?
Yeah, I try to. I feel like I travel so much that it's, like, it's hard to make things line up. But sure. The times that I have been able to make things line up, it's amazing. It's really fun. And it's, like, I'm you know, slowly, like, building a network of, like, friends around the country who are, like, into this same sort of lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been on it for like 3 years now. I discovered it in the pandemic, like in lockdown.
Oh,
it
nice.
Was like perfect timing.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people, I get that a lot.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm going to put in my genitals. What's a really great way to do this?
Yeah, exactly.
And they're like, what's
I think I actually world? Found it and like signed up before because I've always been like a huge masturbator.
Nice.
And like, but then like when lockdown came around, it was like, well, I have all the time in the world and nothing to do. So what am I going to do? My favorite thing ever, jerk off. and then found Bait World and like discovered the 7-day free trial membership where they give you the video chat. And then when I got on there, I was like, oh my God, this is the greatest place I've ever found.
I know. I feel like during the pandemic is when, as much as it was like really shitty, like it gave birth to this thing. Like I was just like, oh, like there's nothing to do, so I'm still just kind of like.
Lots of people found their calling.
I think so. I think it was a moment for us to kind of like, you know.
Yeah.
Go inward.
Yeah.
We weren't doing much.
It definitely was like those first 3 months were like, I was like, I found Bait World, and that's when I like discovered like the concept of solo sexuality, and just that there were other people who were like exclusively interested in masturbating. Not that I'm exclusively interested in it, but but a lot of people where that's like their main thing, just like, you know. And so it was like a really cool, I don't know, like self-discovery period that I think I'm still in, but I think like being part of the community, it's just like, I don't know. I talk a lot about this to like my other trans friends too.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I feel like it was like, so I'm like in lockdown, nothing to do, discovered this new site. Also, it was the beginning of my transition kind of. I was like 2 years into testosterone.
Mm-hmm.
And I had like this new body and like new parts to figure out. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna figure them out.
That's cool.
And something about like the Bader community is like incredibly welcoming, even though like you go on that website and it feels like it's like very like cis centric, you know, there's dicks everywhere, which is great, but like it could throw some people off who are, you know, especially like anybody who's maybe like AFAB or like not so like accustomed to like seeing dicks all the time. But like for me, it was like suddenly there was this space where I felt like I like belonged there, and I had like people like encouraging it and like complimenting my body, and I was like spending all this time learning my body. It's just like I feel like it's been really important it's like been an important self-discovery tool.
That's amazing. I feel like I'm a huge advocate of that. I mean, it certainly played an important role in my life and my own sexuality and really learning what my body can do when I'm capable of giving it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's such a great way to just get in tune with yourself first.
Yeah.
And then you're able to share that with other people.
Yeah.
Your bigger buddies.
A lot of people never get in tune with themselves. Isn't that?
No, because it's scary.
Crazy?
Yes.
And also there's so much stigma. You know, I was just around the other day. Do you follow Dr. Eric Sprinkle?
That's just familiar.
You should, if you don't follow him, you should.
I think I do.
He's like a sex psychologist, and he talks a lot about masturbation and like is like a Satanist, you know. And he was posting some video the other day, some like religious like anti-masturbation video, and I'm like, I feel like, I personally feel like if every cis man on earth, like, really knew how to get themselves off, we would, like, have a peaceful society.
I think we would. I mean, we wouldn't be so aggro all the time.
Yeah, right.
You have all this, like, pent-up frustration and these guys aren't getting made. I'm like, wow, just, like, bang one out. Like, right? You're going to feel a lot better.
Right, and then it's, like, so many of them, even if they do, they feel ashamed about it afterwards, and they feel like they've, like, committed a crime, or, like, it's, like, this horrible thing.
Yes.
Which, I mean, sidebar on that, I feel like, there's like, I feel like there could be like a whole subset of like therapy around like getting over your shame, like through masturbation.
And I think that's wholeheartedly like what I fundamentally believe in. Like, I just feel like it empowered me so much. Like, I don't, masturbation to me has never been, or will never again be like a shameful, dirty, evil thing.
Yeah,
like, it just helped.
Yeah.
Because it helped me be more like open to other things and like ideas and expressions, because I was giving this newfound information or knowledge to myself that I was just like, oh, I can share this and then meet people that like feel the same way.
Yeah.
And like, you meet friends and like,
yeah,
what's so bad about like getting off?
Yeah. No, it's amazing. I can like take care of myself.
Yeah.
Anytime, all the time.
Yeah.
I feel like it's also like opened up my like dating prospects too, in a way, because like I don't feel this need to be sexually compatible with other people necessarily. I'm like, oh, I could just like somebody, and like, I don't know, if we want to make out or whatever, like, great, that's gonna be fun too, but like,
cool,
it's not like I have to be like, yeah, or like holding hands.
Well, I once dated a beta that got off by holding hands.
Really? Mm-hmm. Oh my god, that's really wholesome.
Yeah.
Did they like save it for the last moment?
No, we would like get naked and like masturbate and like hold hands. Like, that was his thing. Like,
that's so sweet.
And make out. Yeah, it was amazing. And then I don't know, like, I just feel like there's so many different ways of like to get set up sexual gratification that like people are just kind of like, oh, I could never.
Yeah.
Well, give it a try. Like, a lot of it is like intimacy.
The hand-holding thing, it's like, if you think about the times when you really like somebody and you, like, haven't been intimate with them yet and you're just holding hands and you, like, feel it in your whole body, like, as if your hand was, like, an erogenous zone. I mean, I guess in those moments it is.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's, I don't know, it's cool to, like, explore those sorts of things with other people who get it, where it's, like, you know.
Yeah.
I that's another thing I feel like about, like, these like extended like goon sessions and things like that, is I will like remind myself like, oh, it's like not just about what's between your legs, it's like touch yourself all over, like touch your legs, touch your whole body, like feel your whole body with your own hands, and like, I don't know, it's like really good for like body positivity.
It is good in my mind. Yeah. You're absolutely right.
I definitely like feel better about myself and my body when I like spend time with myself in that way.
Yeah, because then you like learn to like find the like neurogenous zones about your body and like all the things that give you pleasure.
Yeah.
Plus also too, like, it's like
it's okay. That's the story of my life.
I know, my adult ADD. What is it?
ADHD. I don't know. We all
I
have
feel like as I get older.
I don't know the difference between ADD and ADHD, but.
I don't either. I'm going to Google that. Yeah, I know I have something, because I feel like as I get older, like, I find myself like doing shit and then I'll like drop it and then do something completely different.
Totally, right?
Makes sense.
I feel like we're all discovering that about ourselves. I know so many people my age who have figured out that they have ADD or ADHD like later in life.
Yeah.
And it like honestly is like really helpful to figure it out about yourself.
I think so too. A friend of mine introduced me to a book. It's called Unmasking, and it's a book about being neurodivergent. And I just thought it was really fascinating reading that book, because I was just like, oh, like, there's a lot of things in here that I could relate to. Mm-hmm. And then I just found myself, like, I feel like a lot of people are, like, on this spectrum.
Yeah.
Of, like, all these different,
Yeah.
Like, it's, like, a spectrum of, like, your mental health.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Which I found really beneficial, because I was like, oh, that makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Or, like, I could relate to that. And it was something that I was, oh, I familiar with this.
That, like, everybody is on a spectrum of these things.
Yeah, or, like, there was, like, a certain thing that I would do that I'd find myself on the spectrum. I'd be like, oh, that, I thought that was weird, but it's just, like, this thing.
Yeah.
Like, stimming. Do you know what stimming
is? Yeah, 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 totally. Yeah, I definitely have those.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, yeah, I feel like we are in this, like, age now where, like, everybody's got access to information so you can, like, find out that everybody's different and that's okay. Whereas, yeah. like, when I was a kid, it was very much like, well, this is what normal is, and if you're not this, then we need to fix you.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah, you're totally right.
And, like, now we're in this age where, you know, people much younger than us are like, no, I am who I am, and I'm perfect.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm gonna figure out how to make life work for me the way that I am, rather than fitting myself into your boxes.
Fucking Gen Z, man.
Gen Z does not give a fuck.
They don't play it.
And then what about Gen Alpha? That's the new ones, the kids,
I believe in aliens.
Yeah.
I want aliens to be really real.
Yeah.
I feel like aliens walk among us all the time.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm like, are they in the ocean? Are they down at the bottom of the ocean where we can't get?
Like mermaids.
Like mermaids or sea creatures. So you think mermaids are so real?
I want them to be.
Yeah. I mean, they've been in the lore for so long.
Like, I love, like Loch Ness. Like, you know, the Loch Ness monster.
Yeah.
I want that shit to be so real.
Yeah.
I want someone to go down there and, like, light the shit up. And
find that thing. Find that thing. Okay, aliens are real. It's time to prove the Loch Ness monster.
I know, and then, like, what, the abominable snowman, and, like, Bigfoot, like,
oh my gosh, stories, the Sasquatches, the Bigfoots.
I bet, like, all of these, like, supernatural stories that we hear of, I bet those are all aliens.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I think so, too. I think people are just watching aliens that have been here all along, and they're just like, oh, that one looks like a Bigfoot, but all along it's been, like, a planet of Bigfoots.
Yeah. No, that's real. I'm here for it.
I want to go. I want to go to, like, travel the world and, like, or not, like, space, not world. But, like, I would love to go to, like, different planets.
You would go to space if you had the opportunity?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd want to find my way back home.
Even if it was, okay, would you go to, is it, you would go to space if the opportunity, or if it was, like, in sci-fi where you are, like, zipping all over the place, like, in a cool spaceship, but, like, if it was just, like, today, and it was just, like, Elon Musk was going to the, up to look at the moon and come back down.
Yeah.
And there was a seat available. Would you take it?
No.
Yeah, that sounds awful, right?
Absolutely not. No, I want to go, like, on a real space mission. Like,
I want to go on a mission.
I want to go on, like, fucking Star Trek and shit. Like,
that's cool.
To go beyond, like, fucking talk to androids and shit and have, like, computers. Like,
I hope you're still around when we reach that level of technology.
I'm going to, like, freeze myself.
Yeah. There was a worm, a frozen worm that they unfroze. Did you hear about this?
No. Wait, what? It's a frozen worm.
They're doing some, like, Jurassic Park shit. Apparently, they found some worm frozen in the permafrost somewhere, and scientists, like, unfroze it, and it reanimated and immediately started reproducing. And it's, like...
How old is it?
It's, like, I don't know, like tens of thousands of years old or something. That's, it's, like, 60,000 years old or something crazy like that.
I was watching, I think it was a documentary, and they were, like, I don't know where it was, but it was, like, some cave. And they, like, had to, like, go down this crazy, like, thing. And then they were like, oh, they're, like, humans, but they're not human. So, like, they found remains of, like, people who were, like, transitioning into, like, who we are.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was, like, a burial ground. So, like, they knew, like, they had some reference of, like, some ceremonial funeral thing. Because they would find them in these, like, pockets of, like, these holes and stuff. Yeah.
There's so much freaky
shit. And
the
skulls were smaller than ours, but they kind of resemble who we are. I think that's cool. Like, shit like that really fascinates me. I'm always watching, like dinosaur shit, and when people find it on YouTube, and they're always talking about, like, bones that they find. I'm just like, I want to live there.
Yeah.
Imagine waking one day and being like, there's a fucking dinosaur in the sky. It's like, this one's.
I can't imagine it. But it's like, the shit that keeps happening, you know, it's like, I'm not going to be surprised if it does.
You know, I think this earth is, like, full of wonders. And we just got to keep, digging, man.
Yeah.
We'll find something.
Yeah.
They're just, I learned another one. They're just, like, the biggest whale around. It's, like, bigger than the blue whale.
What?
Yeah.
There's a new biggest whale in town?
Did you know that whales used to, like, be on land?
No.
Yeah. They like used to walk and then they went into the ocean. And
so the opposite of like what they always say about like how we came from some fish that that came out of the ocean.
Yeah.
And grew legs and started walking.
Yeah.
The whales were on land and they were like, no.
Whales were on land. They had actual legs and fur and stuff. And they went to the ocean and that's how they got so big. Because in the water, you can get as big as you want. There's no.
Really?
There's no weight.
Is that the science behind it? In water, you can get as big as you want.
Yeah. If you like lived there for millions of years. Imagine if humans were like to go into the water and evolve there for millions of years. We'd have like fucking gills.
Oh, you're right.
We'd be mermaids.
Yeah. It'd be like Waterworld. Do you remember Waterworld? And Kevin Costner has the gills behind his ear? Yeah.
Oh shit, I should watch that movie again.
Yeah. I want to be in Waterworld. I mean, you have a lot of time alone on your boat all day. No one else around.
I wonder what masturbating is. Part fish would be like. Like, would we even have genitals?
I don't know.
That's really
I mean, whales have notoriously huge dicks.
That's true.
Notoriously huge penises. You remember being a kid and someone would call you a dork and you'd be like, that's a whale penis.
No. What? Yeah,
a dork is like.
A dork is a whale penis?
Yeah.
Oh. I'm going to call people dorks now.
Yeah.
A dork. You giant dork.
You giant dork.
I like dork. Schlong.
Yeah.
Schlong's a good one.
Schlong's like, I feel like old school classic.
Yeah.
I just picture an old man talking about a schlong.
I just burst sucking up.
Or the old stupid limerick. There once was a man from Nantucket. His schlong was so long he could suck it. But I don't remember the end of it is the problem.
I don't think I've
there's ever... like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, so something, something, something. You know, it's like a little poem. But I only remember those first two lines.
Yeah, it's probably the only important part. Like, it probably gets really bad towards the end.
Yeah.
All I remember is like schlong.
Yeah.
What is a really cool thing about touring, do you think? Like, what's your favorite part?
I think just getting to play so many shows like consecutively.
Yeah.
And you get like really into like the rhythm of it.
Yeah.
It's like fun. I feel like the rhythm of like being on tour is like it's like a fun job, you know? You have like a schedule you get to stick to. And you get to play a show every night. And that's cool.
Like people that like, pay money to go see you.
Yeah,
that's
right?
That's really cool.
And they like sing along. I mean, at the good shows.
Yeah, well, that's why we had a conversation on Instagram and you were like, oh, you're like a fucking rock star. And you're like, I'm trying. I'm like, no, you're like I'm literally trying. Doing it.
I'm trying.
I'm like, isn't that what rock stars?
I'm like a small scale rock star.
But that's
I'm an
what
underground
star...
success story.
You're gonna get, it's gonna be huge because I just feel like that's what rock stars do. Like rock stars like perform. People pay money to see you and they just stand around and they're just like listening to your thing.
Mm-hmm.
So like you're living this rock star fantasy.
I guess I technically am living a rock star fantasy. I did play in Chicago recently and people were singing, like screaming along. It was so fun. It was awesome. It was amazing.
Fuck.
It's been like that a few times over the course of my life, but you know, I've been playing music for like 15 years now.
Yeah.
Maybe even longer. But like, you know, professionally pursuing it, whatever that means. I've never sort of like broken through like a mainstream level of success, but I've always just been able to like make it work and keep going. And I have like my fan base is like small, but they're rabid. They're like really excited and they're really like supportive and they come out. It's just like I can't imagine not doing it, even though I'm like this sort of like small scale DIY kind of guy. I'm like, I can't imagine quitting. I know a lot of people who I think in my position would maybe like give up on it by now because they haven't like achieved a certain level of success or whatever.
What does success mean to you? What does that look like to you?
Well, honestly, it's been changing over the past few years because like at one point success was like, I want to go on tour and like have like 500 people come out to every show. But like, that's not what I do. You know, I sort of have this like online following and I'm supported by like my Patreon and I do make a little bit of money off of streaming and like I play shows, but they're usually not huge. You know, when I play shows, if I'm the headlining band, like maybe I'm playing a room that could hold like 200 people, but it's not full of 200 people.
Yeah.
So I like to do a lot of touring where, like, I'm the opening band, which is great. I've, like, recently gotten excited about the idea of being, I've been calling myself the world's best solo acoustic opener. I'm like, that's what I want to be.
Nice.
Take me on tour. I'll open. It'll be just me. It'll be really easy. Yeah, and I guess, like, success, I don't know. So, yeah, like, back, so, you know, I feel like for me, a lot of it feels like pre-pandemic, like pre-lockdown. I feel like lockdown, pandemic, the world flipping upside down, like,
yeah,
changed my perspective on so many things.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I went on a tour right before pandemic. That was, like, a 10-year anniversary tour for my first record. And it, like, was, like, a fine tour. It didn't sell super well. But, like, the shows that we had were so fun. Even if they were small crowds, they were, yeah, like, people who were really fucking stoked.
Yeah.
And I was, like, there were bands who were opening for me who were, like, younger than I was. And they were, like, we were listening to your records when we were coming up. And, like, you're a huge influence on our music. And I was, like, that's amazing.
That is cool.
So I sort of, like, realized that, like, I don't necessarily need, like, this, like, mainstream, like, huge level of success to, like, feel like what I'm doing is, like, worthy and worth it and,
yeah,
like, affecting people. And, you know, it was sort of around that time, too, that I was living in LA. I was married. I realized that, like, I didn't want to be here anymore, mostly because, like, I couldn't afford it. It was too expensive.
Yeah.
And I was always, like, looking for other jobs. I do graphic design work, too. I was always, like, freelancing and hustling. And then it sort of hit me, and I was like, I do make some money off of music. Like, could I pursue this full-time if, like, my expenses were lower?
Mm.
And, you know, it was, like, at the same time, like, my relationship was already, like, kind of coming to an end. And then I just got this, like, hand-me-down Jeep from my dad. And so I just, like, moved into the Jeep, and I was sort of, like, couch surfing and camping and, like, traveling.
Yeah.
And then I was living off of my music because I didn't need as much.
Mm.
And then eventually upgraded to this trailer life. And, like, luckily it works really well for me because, like, I love being on the road. I love, like,
yeah,
I love trailer life. I love RV living. And I really love being able to pay my bills just by playing music and really being able to, like, focus on,
yeah,
making
art. There's really fulfilling about that. Huh?
Yeah, it's really great.
Like, doing something that you really love to do and then, like, being able to support yourself.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's
being really able to do that and then spend the rest of my time, like, in nature or, like, reading or, like, jerking off online with my friends.
That's always a great pastime.
Yeah, so.
That's really cool. Like, I don't know. Like, doesn't, like, isn't it scary though? Like,
yeah, totally. But not
how do you
at
pass
all.
The fear?
It's scary, but it's also not scary at all.
What's the scariest part?
I think the scariest part is maybe when you hear, like, other people, like, planning for their future. And you're like, okay, so maybe one day I'll be a lot older and need more help from other people or need more, like, money to pay for medical expenses and shit like that. And
yeah,
so, you know, thinking that far ahead and being, like, nervous about those things, I
yeah,
feel like is maybe, like, the scariest it gets.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just kind of, like, have faith that it's going to work out. And, like, the way that I live my life, it's, like, going to work out. Like, I'll probably end up on some, like, farm commune somewhere when I'm in my 60s or 70s. Like, hopefully being taken care of by younger queers or something like that.
That sounds really fun.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I have this neighbor upstairs. Well, like, he moved out, but he used to do, like, commune life, and he's queer too. And so he would always tell me all the time, like, yeah, I'm introduced to people. Like, you'll live in this commune. You'll, like, do, like, jobs. Like, you know, you'll cook or you clean or you'll do something. And I don't know. I feel like maybe I would like to try that
yeah,
at one point in my life. I don't know.
Yeah,
feel like, I don't know. As much as I've, like, been given a lot of free will to kind of do what I want, like, I've been very protected. Like, I've had family here. Like, I feel like in my life I've always had a good safety net.
Yeah.
Which can be good and bad, because then you're just like, oh, like,
you're like, oh, you're fine.
Yeah, I'll be fine. But then it's just kind of like, no, I don't want to have that feeling of I'll be fine. Like, I think it's important to have that feeling of, like, how the fuck am I going to make this happen? Like, because then it does really improve, like, your survival skills.
True.
It makes you really resourceful, too.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, okay, well, shit, I gotta figure this shit out. So, like, how can I make this work the best possible way that I can?
Yeah.
I don't know. It also builds character.
Yeah. The struggle builds character. That's the silver lining. That's what we tell ourselves when we're struggling. It's building character.
Yeah, you don't focus on the trauma. You're just like, I gotta get to this first, and then we'll like have the process this later on.
But I mean, also it's like, yeah, what are you gonna do? Are you gonna live, or are you gonna just sit in your like safe space and not experience anything ever?
Because
I know people who do that. Yes. Just like they build their nest and they want to stay in their nest.
Yes.
And like, live your life. I'm all about like whatever you want to do, whatever makes you happy, like yeah. fucking do it. If staying in your little nest and never experiencing anything makes you happy, yeah. sure, go for it. More power to you. Yeah. But like, is there a part of me that's like maybe missing out on experiencing things? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's where I think, you know, I think everyone's different, but for me, there's a point in my life where it's like, if I don't do this now, when will I ever do it? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just like, again, like I had this job and I had this money and I was financially secure and I was really comfortable, but I wasn't doing the thing that like really brought me a lot of joy. Mm-hmm. And like now, like when I don't have a job and I'm just doing this and it's a passion project, and yeah. I'm just like, I'm really loving this, but I think the fear is like, how can you do this? How can you make this lucrative that you can actually support and
yeah.
like feed yourself and like totally. Really like house yourself while still doing this thing that you really love to do?
Yeah. It's definitely harder when you're like living in the city and you gotta pay rent. It's definitely harder.
Fuck, bro. Maybe I should just join you on this camp.
Yeah,
like maybe a trailer you should do this and be like, I'm a good roadie.
I realize.
I do have music production background.
Oh, like, really? Yeah, no, man. No.
When I graduated art school, I went to New York. I graduated from photography.
Nice.
I went to New York because I was going to be a hotshot photographer.
Oh my gosh, we both have art degrees. Look at us.
Did it happen, yeah. Artist. And I got a gig working for Mark Anthony Productions.
Okay. Like singer? Mark Anthony, like the singer, singer like yes. was also once married to Jennifer Lopez.
Yes.
That's that awesome.
Is the guy. Yes. And a lot of people, I don't share this story a lot because it was like a really traumatic experience for me, but I did. And I had musical production. I like would help like these massive tours like all over the world.
Oh, cool.
People like play these huge stadiums and stuff, so like yeah,
nice.
If you need like a roadie, I'm good, man.
Okay, good
I'll,
to know.
I'll pack your shit.
Hell yeah.
Like get to work
when the time is right. You're invited.
I want to go see you live.
Please come.
You have to like I'm gonna two shows I'm gonna put all your shows on this podcast so people can like check it out.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
And then people can come and like support.
Yeah.
Is it just you or do you play along with like different like
The one at the end of August is gonna be just me, but the one in December that I haven't announced yet is gonna be a full band show, which will be really fun.
Wait, so right now you're playing solo. Like it's just you on the guitar.
Yeah, just me acoustic.
Okay, and then the goal is to get like a band?
Yeah. I have a band I had a band more frequently pre-pandemic. I just have been doing solo touring because it's just like so easy.
Okay.
And cost effective.
Yeah.
But that's why the December show is going to be so cool because having a band is really fun. And like that's how I make my records are full band records, like fully fleshed out production and everything. So like when I can play with a band, I definitely want to play with a band, but it's not always like feasible.
Do you feel more powerful with a band? Or do you feel it's the same?
Maybe. I don't know. I've never thought of it. I've never thought of it in terms of power and how powerful I feel. But, like, probably just because it's, like, louder, you know? Just because it's louder and there's drums, like, everything feels more powerful.
I like a good drum.
You know?
I feel like if I was in a band, I'd probably play drums.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have that kind of, like, I just want to get crazy. You know what a really cool drummer? Do you remember the band? Oh, God. I forgot. It was these four girls. This is old school, but they would play like the Donnas.
The Donnas, what?
Do you know the Donnas?
Yeah.
Yeah. Their drummer was the shit. I would always watch them nice. Live and then I would watch the drummer playing. And she's fucking all about it. And I was like, I want to be
hell
like,
yeah.
this person.
I mean, I'm sure she was great. They like. Or a full-on fucking rock band.
Yeah.
We just have been listening a lot on tour to a song of theirs I didn't know existed called... I actually don't know if this is the name of the song, but the chorus is 40 Boys and 40 Nights. Do you know this song? No, it's about being on tour, and the chorus is like, 40 boys and 40 nights. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. And it's like, I ain't got time to see the sights. Because she's just like fucking a different guy every night. It's really badass.
I love the Donnas. They were a great sound.
Yeah.
They were like fucking hardcore rock and roll
chicks. I remember they had like a really big like mainstream radio hit. But they're like punk. They're like punk as
well.
Yeah,
they are punk.
They're like an LA-based band too, so they're like very much like, I feel like, rooted in that like the like Sunset Strip like rocker culture.
Yeah,
sort of, I feel like they came out of that.
Those are very are they still making music, Tina?
I don't know.
It's been a while since I've listened to them, but yeah, I remember that specific band really stuck a lot out to me. Also, too, like the bass.
Yeah,
I like the bass too.
Bass is great. Cool. Bass is really driving. And right. A good band of the bass and the drums will be like together, the rhythm section.
Yeah, they're the ones that keep the tempo, right?
Yeah, totally, basically. Yeah, exactly. Count it in. There you go. You're a drummer.
Yeah, I'm a drummer. I remember when I was younger, I wanted to take piano lessons, and like I went, and I was like, I'm too old
for this. I'm sorry, this just reminded me of a site that you need to go to. It's called ultimatedrummingtechnique.com.
Uh-huh.
It's a prank, but I think that you might like it.
What is it about?
You should just go right now.
What is it called?
UltimateDrummingTechnique.com, I believe is the website. It's a video where they're going to show you the ultimate drumming technique.
Oh, God.
Get ready. It's very it's our world.
Oh, my God. I was not expecting that.
There you go.
Wait, and it's this guy just like with his dick out the entire time?
Yeah, he's just playing drums, except instead of a snare, he's jerking his dick.
Thank you so much for showing this.
You're so welcome.
I'm going to show everyone I know this fucking.
Please do.
That's just fucking funny.
Please do. I don't know why it exists or who made it, but it's so.
How did you find it?
Because it's not even supposed to be porn. It's just.
It's just a guy.
I think it's just a prank to be like, oh, bro, you got to check out the ultimate drumming technique videos. And then somebody goes and visits it, and that's it.
That's a guy. Yeah, I feel like all my solo sexual buddies really appreciate that.
Good.
I'm going to tweet it out.
Pass it around. Tweet it out. Yeah. You could be like, I interviewed a musician today. I learned about the ultimate drumming technique.
I learned about the ultimate. You have to do this. You're going to be the best drummer in the world. But the dude playing the drums, he's a total soul sexual. You can tell.
You think so?
Oh, totally.
How can you tell?
Anyone that's got their dick out like that.
Yeah, you can just tell.
Someone that's going to be like, I love my drums or I love my dick.
Do you like to try and like speculate who, like what celebrities might be secret solo sexuals or like closeted? Like maybe they don't even know yet. Baby solo sexuals.
Yeah, I secret feel like I've done that before. Like I'm just like, yeah, I get the solo sexual vibes.
Yeah.
But I feel like ultimately deep down everyone's got a little piece of them. If you enjoy masturbation, you're on some kind of solo sexual trip.
Yeah.
I encourage everyone to kind of figure it out.
Yeah.
Take a break.
Yeah.
Take a break. You know, find out what your genitals are capable of doing. And
yeah.
Then like go from there.
Yeah.
It's like a restart.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Like a break from like relationships, you mean? Or like.
Yeah, like a break from like other bodies. And, like, other
yeah.
Like I feel like as I've gotten older, I've become so much aware of how like people drain you.
Mm-hmm.
Like people's energies can be really bad. Like you go into a space and you're just like, you're giving so much of yourself. Like, and you have to really protect that energy. So, like, to me, sex is really important because it's a really intimate physical activity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like you're shedding layers of who you are and you're basically naked together in this one moment. And so I'm always just really careful about who I choose to do that. I get hit up a lot and I'm just like, I don't really want to.
Yeah.
I don't want to get naked with you yet. Or yeah. Like, I don't know. I feel like also too, I'm like demisexual.
Mm-hmm.
You know, demisexual.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Where I'm just like, I have to know you, bro. Like,
yeah.
What are you about? Like,
yeah.
Who are you? Like, can we just like meet first and get the vibe and then maybe we can like whip it out later. But
totally.
I'm always just kind of like, that's just me. That's always been my whole life.
No, I feel like I was just talking to somebody the other day about how being solo sexual or like being a beta makes it really easy to be really picky about any kind of like partnered hookups, which is great. Cause you know, I know people who are not as good at getting themselves off and they'll just invite anyone over. Cause they're like, I gotta get off. So this person will do. And it's like, that sucks. I don't know about you, but like, I feel like it's like, if I'm hooking up with somebody, I'm not demisexual. Like I will hook up with a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
It's rare these days. Cause like, I feel like most of the time I'll just like get on Baitworld and I'll be like, this is easier. And like, you know, somebody has to be like really appealing to me for me to want to like meet up with them.
Same.
If I don't already know them.
Same.
And And also, like, even, but when I even do get into those situations, like, I don't know, I'll, like, get in my head about it and, like, feel myself, like, kind of, like, performing for them almost, or, like, wanting to do what I think they're gonna like, as opposed to doing what makes me feel good. You know?
Yep.
So.
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's really observant. It's really good to be self-aware.
Yeah.
To just be like, do I really want to force this on myself right now? Because ultimately it's about you.
Yeah.
Like, do you really want to spend this energy doing something that you're not really going to physically enjoy?
Yeah, totally. I mean, I guess, like, some people are, like, really into, like, you know, servicing others and that.
Sure.
Yeah, the act of that gets them off. It doesn't matter what it is. Yeah. You know, but
everyone has their kink. Everyone has their fetishes, and that's totally cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, but from a solo sexual perspective, I'm like not, it's given me less things to like worry about. It's like one less thing I have to worry about. Like my life is so full of like shit, but I'm just like, okay, like I don't have to worry about like getting on a Friday night, like cruising for dick or like ass or whatever. I'm just like, this is like, I'm just gonna like call it a night.
Totally.
Smoke a blunt. And like really have a really great time. And like I'm satisfied.
Yeah.
And people have a hard time believing that. It's like, why don't you think that I did if I'm telling you that I did?
I know, right? They're like, are you though? It's like, no, I am. It's this like is a, literally like really the man. Best. Yeah. I'm like, it's so chill and fun. I get to hang out with myself. Yeah, and like, I also find myself, like, since I've discovered solo sexuality, like, just, it's funny because, like, growing up and, like, being, like, a musician who writes, like, these emo songs about, like, love and relationships, like, I feel like I was always, like, so very, like, obsessed with, like, who is my crush? Like, who am I trying to date? Like, who am I going to be with? And that was, like, that, like, took up a big part of my brain space and, like, just doesn't anymore. And it's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Because I don't find myself being, like, lonely for someone, necessarily, you know?
And also, too, like, I feel like the narrative of those songs is always, like, with someone else in mind. Mm-hmm. And I always try to tell people, I'm just like, well, listen to your favorite song, but change the perspective. Like, that song's about you.
Sing about yourself.
Yeah.
All your favorite songs except about yourself.
That's right. Yeah. And that's what I tell everybody all the time. I'm just like, okay, like, you're longing. You're playing this song, or you're watching this movie, and you're envisioning someone out there that's going to fulfill this part of you. But, like, it's you. Like,
yeah.
I sing love songs to myself all the time because I'm the one that I love the most.
Yeah. Totally.
So So it's a really, but I think that change happens with practice and people have to allow that.
Yeah.
Like, they really have to be like, allow themselves to be like, I'm worthy.
Yeah.
It's a whole like journey thing and getting into
But it's like, also then it's really beautiful when you can like find relationships with other people who also like have that relationship with themselves. You know, I don't know, like I'm dating someone kind of right now who is really like good at being self-sufficient and like isn't and is just like, I don't know, sort of like the same mindset of just like really valuing their like solo time and like the relationship with theirself. And it's cool because then when you come together, it's not like this like I need you.
Yeah.
It's like it can really be like two people like experiencing the world together. I don't know, which is kind of fun. Or two or more people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm.
But I think that's the goal, right?
Yeah.
Like you're your own person, and then you're bringing into you like all this like wonderfulness together.
Yeah.
And then you can,
totally.
Like, take that separately.
Yeah.
You're not coming to get it from this other person. You basically give it to yourself.
I feel definitely like more excited about relationships with other people, like knowing that like I'm good here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And like I don't know, like you don't have to like necessarily like hang out with somebody who isn't 100% amazing because you're I'm good. Like I'll wait for the person who like really gets me or really gets it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to like kind of like settle just because I need somebody around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't need it because you got yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude.
It's great.
Where can people find you?
You can find me. My website is lowerkeymusic.com, which is like the umbrella for all my music that I do.
Okay.
And gosh, I guess I'm Johnny Gatorbait on Baitworld.
It's
funny that I've never actually like crossed those worlds.
Yeah.
But I want to.
Okay.
So I'm figuring out how to do it. I think posting about this podcast is going to be like the first time I've ever publicly been like, I'm a sexual being who loves to masturbate and here's me talking about it. You know what I mean?
How does that make you feel?
It makes me feel nervous, but also like excited because it's a long time coming.
Yeah.
I feel like I also recently started an OnlyFans. Nice. I'm not like necessarily trying to promote it super hard. I'm not like, you know, I already have one fucking social media hustle game going with my music. Yeah, I'm like, I don't need another job where I'm trying to promote this. Yeah. But I started it because I was like, well, in this economy, it's important to monetize your hobbies. Just in case anybody wants to pay for it, I would love for them to pay for it.
True.
And then also just like, cause I, you know, spend so much time camming on Bait World. I've sort of like, I've made peace with the fact that it's inevitable that like at some point there's going to be nudes or video of me, and somebody who likes my music who didn't know that part about me is going to see it. Like, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
So I need to just like embrace it. So yeah, I'm just like interested in like being open about it in that way. Yeah. Just cause I feel like, I don't know.
Yeah.
Pure authenticity is kind of like my goal.
Yeah, transparency. Like, yeah. I feel like you can, I don't understand why like being a sexual person has to be such a secret.
I mean, it's got to be
like you're still a sexual and a musician. Like, there's no.
Yeah.
Why do you have to deny one part of yourself or the other? Like, you're a whole being.
Yeah.
Like, you go on stage and you have your dick with you. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's what I tell my clients all the time. Like, I have like a sex coach. I do sex and bait coaching, and people are just like, oh, I don't know how to be sexual. And I'm like, you carry your dick everywhere, dude. Yeah. Like, you don't leave it at home. Yeah. Feel that energy.
Yeah.
Do you feel your dick when you're on stage?
You know, I don't know that I have. Because I feel like I haven't like put those two headspaces together, but maybe I'll think about it next time I'm on stage and see what happens.
I fucking do, like, before you go on stage, just like grab your dick and be like, I'm gonna fucking rock this show up.
Honestly, that sounds like what every like cis rock star has done since the dawn of time.
Probably.
Like,
they're just sitting around with their dick out and they're just like, hey buddy.
I feel like that's gonna make me feel like I'm like in like Iron Maiden or some shit. Like, or like Guns N' Roses or something.
No, I like your sound.
No, I'm not gonna sound like that. Oh, okay. I'm just gonna feel like that. I'm just gonna take that rock star energy, that rock star energy that really comes from just like shoving your dick in people's faces. Because like honestly, that's what they do. A lot of those guys, Motley Crue, isn't it all about just like look at us and our dicks?
Yeah.
A guitar is like a huge dick. Do you ever think about that? When I see like a band on like a metal band or something, or like a Motley Crue is a perfect example. It's like hair metal, just like guys doing like crazy guitar solos where they're just like, they literally like have their guitar in a way where it's like, it may as well be a giant dick that they're just like jerking off for the whole audience. And to me, like a guitar solo like that is like absolutely jerking off. It's like, look at me go, I'm doing this crazy thing, and a guitar is like a phallic instrument.
I completely have changed my perspective. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I think that's really great.
Yeah. Think about that more. Spend more time thinking about it. Now it totally is. Guitarist. Yeah. I feel like it's been such a male-dominated field forever.
Yeah.
I have a unique experience because when I came up, you know, I was identifying as a woman, which feels crazy now. And now I pass as like a cis guy, which is also crazy. And it's like hard for me to not see these things because, you know, I've always thought that about like the male dominated, like hard rocker music scene. It's just like so much about like, look at us, we're dudes, we're doing this for the chicks, and we got our guitars. It's like our huge dicks on stage, and like our pyrotechnics. Look at this, I'm gonna blow my load. You know what I mean? It's like all just like so sexualized.
That's true. Now I'm thinking to myself, like, do you think Beyonce feels like she's grabbing her dick before the stage?
I hope so.
I know she does.
Beyonce, BDE.
God.
Yeah.
I miss not getting tickets to that fucking show.
Yeah, everyone's whatever. Seeing I've seen everybody
on
Instagram, going.
Though. I feel like I've seen the whole show on social media.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's like a transformative experience to be
Are
there.
You a big fan of Beyonce? What kind of music do you listen to?
Beyonce, it's like, I feel like I listen to the hits. I've never done like deep dive into Beyonce's catalog, but like she's clearly, I mean, it's fucking Beyonce.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Beyonce.
Yeah.
She's amazing. She's an icon. She's an artist.
Who are the artists you're listening to right now?
Who are the artists I'm listening to right now? I've gotten really into pop country music. So I listen to like this band called Hardy.
Okay.
He's like a singer-songwriter guy.
Are you a Shania fan?
Of course I'm a Shania fan. Shania. Ugh, I grew up on like 90s country, so like I grew love up, Shania
like,
Twain.
Like,
Yes. Like Shania and Reba and fucking Faith Hill and like, you know, Tim McGraw and Kenny Chesney and like all that sort of stuff. I've always loved like the songwriting in country music. It's like really good storytelling and melodies and stuff. I know it's not for everyone because it's like so hokey.
No, but so, I feel like that's what I get from your music too, like songwriting.
Yeah.
Like you're a songwriter.
Yeah.
Like this is what you do. You write about like life and love and like you sing about it.
Yeah, that's
you're not like doing these mass produced like records or whatever. Like you're sitting down. Like I see you like with a fucking pencil and a notebook and like you're penguin.
Yeah. Bring it back to the penguin.
Looking over it all. It's like full circle moment.
That's exactly
what I'm saying. And if people can find you on Instagram too, are you on Twitter?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram and Twitter, also known as X. Do you not know this?
Yes, X.
Twitter is called X now.
I'm not calling.
I don't call it X either.
No, the other day I was looking at my phone and I was like, I'm looking for this fucking bird. And I couldn't find it. Like, where did my Twitter app go? And it's like right in front of my face, this fucking
app. Yeah.
I'm like, this is dumb.
Ugh. Yeah.
This is dumb. I feel bad though, because all of my like sex worker friends can't leave me anywhere. Everyone's talking about going to a different platform. Like,
but there's nowhere to go.
We can't, yeah.
Because they banned it. Exactly. Twitter's the only place where you're allowed to just be like fully nude and fucking literally anything. Anything goes on Twitter, but is that going to still be the case? Has there been any like talk?
No, I feel like it's going to go downhill pretty soon, really.
Oh, fuck.
Which really sucks.
Well, yeah, I've got my music Twitter, which is Johnny Alligator. I've got a dirty Twitter, which is Jack Vice XXX. Right.
And then I like your Instagram. Your Instagram is what?
It's just my name, John Allison Weiss, the full band name. John Allison Weiss.
I love it.
Yeah, my friends call me Johnny, but John Allison Weiss is like my music.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Can I play Johnny?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, Johnny. Thanks so much for doing this podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I really enjoyed talking to you about all the cool stuff that you do.
Me too.
Good luck on all of your tours. I think it's going to be amazing.
Thanks.
And then keep me updated. I want to go check it out. I'll bring a couple of friends.
I absolutely will.
We'll just like hang out.
I'll put you on the guest list if there's room. Hopefully there's room.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right. Hopefully everyone enjoyed this episode. And we'll catch you on the next one.
Thanks. Bye, Johnny. Bye.